I love the people here. I love the community. I love the music. I love the workshops. I love the teachings. But there's something that I love more. I love God more. And as much as I love you guys, I wouldn't travel across the country just to be here for a weekend to hang out. Just to hang out. I wouldn't travel across the country. I wouldn't invite people here to rough it at a YMCA campground in Woodstock, Connecticut, just for the heck of it. What brings me back every year is that God is here. Jesus is with us, and the Spirit moves when we gather here together. And so my desire for all of us so far this weekend is that when we leave, we can leave knowing that we experience God in some form or fashion. And so if you're sitting here today and you have experienced anxiety steal peace from your life, then this message is for you. Whether you experience it minimally or not at all, or whether you're crippled by it at this very moment or this weekend, God, not me, I'm just the messenger, God has a life-giving word for you today. So I want to remind everybody, that for my brothers and sisters in Christ here, that anxiety is not your Lord. Anxiety is not your master. Jesus is your Lord, and Christ is your identity. Amen. Not fear. Yes. And for those who are with us today that do not know Jesus as Savior or Redeemer, Jesus is able to fully and wholly save you from your anxiety and give you an incorruptible peace from God that nothing in this world can steal. So if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians, this is going to be our main text for this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Before we start, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. God, I thank you so much for this weekend. I thank you for this moment. God, I know that everybody in here, including myself, has struggled, has battled with anxiety, with fear. And God, though the anxiety that we feel is strong, you are stronger. Yes. And you are a life giver, and you are able to break chains. And so God, I pray that whatever any and all anxiety that we carried into this weekend, God, that we would lay it at the cross during this time, and we would focus our hearts and minds to you. God, meet us where we're at, and we trust that you will do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians from a jail cell. In this passage that we're going to be looking at, he is encouraging the Philippians to not be anxious, and there's two reasons why he says that. The first one is in verse 2. Philippians 4, verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche were two prominent women in the Philippian community, and they're having a conflict, and it's not disclosed what's happening, but something is happening, and the effects of their disagreement or fallout is affecting the Philippian community. And so he writes to encourage them, Euodia, Syntyche, live harmoniously in the Lord, and the rest of you do not be anxious. And the second reason is found in verse 5, Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. And the Lord here is referring to Jesus, and the Lord is near could mean one of two things, or it could mean both at the same time. Either the Lord is near in his return, so don't be anxious, or the Lord is near in that he is present with us. Do not be anxious. So either way, the result is the same. Be anxious for nothing. And so I want to start by looking at this first phrase in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. This is a radical statement. This is a glorious statement. And it doesn't, when it says be anxious for nothing, it doesn't mean that we won't face situations in life that bring anxiety. That's not what it's saying. We're told all over the Bible and in the New Testament that being a disciple of Christ is hard, and we should expect persecution in a number of different ways. So it doesn't mean that we won't face situations that bring anxiety, but that when those situations do come, and they will, anxiety ultimately does not have power over us. It does not have control over us. It does not master us. Fear does not have the final word if you're in Christ Jesus. And so, as we are starting, I just want to ask you, what is your response when you're anxious? What is your response when anxiety hits you? Do you take it and let it control you, and let it consume you, or do you wage war against it? And that's what this is. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So, as I was thinking about anxiety, I thought, what are the sources of anxiety that we experience? And I thought of four. There's probably more, but these are the four that I thought of. And I just want to echo what Victor said last night about asking yourself, why am I anxious? I thought that was really good. You can't move forward if you don't know why you're feeling anxious. So I would ask you to ask that yourself, why am I anxious? And so the first category of anxiety that we experience is sometimes it's because anxiety stems from circumstances that are outside of our control. You may be sitting here today anxious, being filled with anxiety because there is a situation, a person, some event that has affected you that is completely out of your control. That's what we see with the Philippian community. There are these two women having a conflict, and it was upsetting the rest of the Christian community there. A second category is that sometimes anxiety stems from spiritual opposition and spiritual warfare. It's one that we're usually not conscious of, but we shouldn't be ignorant of the devil and his schemes. A third category of anxiety is that sometimes anxiety stems from being lazy and procrastinating, waiting till the last minute to do things. And fourthly, this is really the catch-all. This is really what summarizes what anxiety is. Anxiety stems from not trusting God. And yet, in the face of all these and so many reasons that we experience anxiety, Paul, inspired by God through the Spirit to the Philippians to you this morning, be anxious for nothing. Nothing means nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Be anxious for nothing.
Be anxious for nothing.
And so this is a life-changing reality. This is a shackle-breaking reality. This is a anxiety-killing reality, and ultimately it is a God-glorifying reality. Be anxious for nothing. We're not talking about something cute here. This is tangible, and it is available to you right now at this moment in Christ Jesus. It has already been accomplished. It is yours in Christ. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but... be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is an equally radical statement. And in this phrase, there are two stones that we can sling into the forehead of the giant called anxiety. God has given us two weapons that he has given us to fight anxiety. And these two things are to permeate every aspect of our life, and they are prayer and they are supplication. And the reason they are to touch every part of our life is because in everything we pray. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The reason, not that we don't experience anxiety, but the reason why anxiety doesn't have the upper hand on us and nothing is because in everything, we are giving it to God in prayer. Everything. Everything means everything. Nothing means nothing. Everything means everything. Everything from the little, mundane, insignificant, inconsequential things that we think God doesn't care about, pray about them. He's the creator. He knows everything about you. And there's not one part of you that he doesn't care about. Everything means everything. Anything that is not surrendered to God in prayer and supplication with an attitude of thanksgiving gives room for anxiety to grow. It gives room for anxiety to fester in our life, to grow, to dominate us, to control us, and for us to live below what God has called us to as individuals and as a community. And so prayer is to permeate every aspect of our existence. And that is because it is the vehicle through which we transfer anxiety that we experience to God. We give it to him. We give it to him in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him." Not some. Not a little bit. Not the things I only want to give to him, casting all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. We give everything to God, not a little bit, not some, everything. We cast all our anxiety onto him because he cares. He loves you. He has redeemed you. He has given you his son for you. He wants to see your good. He wants to see you flourish. He wants to see you prosperous spiritually. He wants you to see, he wants you to become more like Jesus, casting all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. So I ask you, how much of your anxiety do you hand over to God? How much anxiety do you hand over to God? Because I know for a long time, I just accept it. I just took it. When I felt it, I just claimed it for my own. This is who I am. This is, you know, it's not going to change. This is how I operate. This is how my mind works. How much of our anxiety do we give to God? That's right, all. We give all to God because he cares for us. And so I ask you, what is the extent of your prayer life? How dependent are you on prayer? How much of your life is covered in prayer, which is really how much of your life is in surrender to God? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. Prayer is not peripheral, it's central. Prayer is not cute. It's powerful. And prayer is not an extracurricular in the life of a believer. It's the main thing. And you will die or you will thrive depending on what you do with prayer. We experience anxiety. Being a Christian doesn't mean you won't experience it. In fact, in some areas of life, in some circumstances, you'll experience it even more so, especially with spiritual opposition and warfare. And the weapons that God has given us to fight anxiety, to claim the peace that is ours in Christ Jesus, is through prayer. What does your prayer life look like? And the other thing is supplication with thanksgiving. And supplication is another form of prayer, and it just means to plead with God in a humble manner with reverence. Think of the idea of the fear of the Lord. We, in everything, with prayer and with supplication, with an attitude of thanksgiving when we go to God. So before whatever we're asking for of God, before the answer, we are exhibiting an attitude of thankfulness in the midst of whatever we're going through. And that seems contradictory. That seems paradoxical. It seems, well, why in the world would I be thankful? And so this is what I think it means to exhibit thankfulness in the midst of an anxious situation when we go to God in prayer. God, I am thankful that you love me. God, I know and I am thankful that you desire my good. You don't plan to harm me. You have given me the victory in Jesus Christ. God, I am thankful that you are faithful. God, I'm thankful that though no one understands me right now, though I don't even understand myself in this moment, you know me. You know the ins and outs. You know where I'm at. You know what I'm trying to communicate, though I can't put into words. God, thank you for the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. In his life, in his name, I have life. And so, be anxious for nothing. Don't let it control you, because in everything, through prayer and supplication, we are making our requests made known to God, and we are doing so with an attitude, with a disposition of thankfulness. And that doesn't happen overnight. That takes time. When you are in the midst of a panic attack or anxiety, if we're not cultivating thankfulness in our life the other times, yeah, it's not going to show up in that moment. That's right. So there's a lot of nuances that could be brought up, and I only have so much time. But this phrase, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, this is a charge that God has given on your life. It's not optional. It's not up to you to decide whether you follow it or not. This is the standard that God has set for you and me, for this community. Anxiety does not have to be master over us. It does not have to control us, because in everything, I'm going to God in prayer. And I don't think that means closing ourselves off in a room 24/7 praying. There are times for that, but it is being in constant communication with God. Anything that I am doing, I am mindful of him. Whether it's buying a pair of jeans, getting gas, whether it's the worst anxiety attack of your life, I am always mindful of God. I'm always in communication with him. And continuing in verse 7, so, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, we experience anxiety, we fight it with prayer, we fight it with supplication, we fight it with thanksgiving. And in verse 7, in the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice that this peace that is spoken about, that is available in Jesus Christ, it is supernatural. It is peace that is from, that is of God. Therefore, it is not natural. You will not find this peace anywhere in this world. You won't find it in a self-help book. You won't find it in a motivational speaker. You won't find it in yourself. You won't find it in your spouse, in your fiance, in your children, in money, in the things of this world. There is no place that you can have this peace except from God. Amen. It is only, its source is only from God. And God may direct that supernatural peace through people in your life, but the source is not people. The source is God. God owns peace. He is peace. He is a wellspring of peace. You cannot exhaust his peace. However much you need of it, it's yours. And this peace that is from God, look what it says at the end of verse 7. In Christ Jesus. This peace that is from God, you will not find it in any religion, any other worldview, any philosophy, any ideology, anything. It is only in Christ Jesus. And so if you are in Christ Jesus, it is yours. It belongs to you. God has given it to you in his Son. And the peace of God is the cure. It is the antidote to anxiety. The peace of God quenches the raging storm in our souls that is anxiety. And later on in verse 7, in the middle there, between the peace of God and in Christ Jesus, we're told this. It is something that surpasses all comprehension, and it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Experiencing the peace of God is unlike anything. I mean, there's nothing to compare it to. I can't put words to it. The only way you can know what I'm talking about is if you have experienced it. The peace of God, it washes over your soul, it soothes it, it calms it, but it strengthens you. Where anxiety was chipping at your faith in God, it was chipping at your trust in God, the peace of God rebuilds that. It strengthens your faith. It renews your trust in God. And it will guard, it will protect you. It will guard your heart, and it will guard your mind in the Messiah Jesus. And I think what we can see here from verse 7 is that so often when we experience anxiety, our first response is, God, get us out of here. Get me out of this situation. I don't want to be here. But I think reading verse 7, I mean, maybe God will do that, but I don't think that's the rule. Look at verse 7. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. I don't think God is always going to bring us out of the situation, but rather his supernatural peace will invade your situation and will protect you during the storm. Will protect you from yourself, will protect you from the adversary, from the enemy, will protect you from other people. It will strengthen you, and it will build you in the midst of whatever you're facing. And so anxiety is so prevalent. It is so weighty on our lives. And God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. And so, just to recap quickly from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we see three things. That God has called us to experience a life of victory over anxiety. Not that we won't face it, but that we have victory over it. It doesn't own you. Jesus owns you. God owns you. Not anxiety. So it doesn't control you. It doesn't have power over you. It can't dominate you. It has no claim on you. And two, we fight anxiety through surrendering everything. Everything means everything in prayer and supplication with an attitude of thankfulness. This, like I said, this takes time to do. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes time. And three, ultimately God gives us the victory over anxiety by giving us his peace. Where anxiety tells us not to trust God, where anxiety separates us from God, where anxiety tries to break the bridge of faith and trust with God, the peace of God draws us closer to him. The peace of God builds our faith. And it is, can't put words to it. I would also like to encourage you, if you don't do this or if you haven't thought of it, this is something that I've been, that's been helpful to me, is to create a memory bank of verses in your mind to remind you of the promises of God. such as here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, or the great passage in Romans 8, 28, and 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. God works all things together, even your anxiety that we experience. And so, as we close here, I just want to close with one final thing. The reason why I have some clarity on this topic, or at least to me it seems clear, I hope it's clear to you, is that for much of my life, I didn't have anxiety, really. I never really experienced it up until 2016, when I graduated from ABC, Atlanta Bible College. From 2016 to the summer of 2018, so for about 2.5 year period, I seemingly out of nowhere struggled with anxiety. And it kept increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. It felt extremely heavy on me. I hated myself. My love for God grew colder. Even though on the outside I was doing ministry, on the inside I was dying. I wasn't praying to God outside of corporate prayer. And things just progressively got worse. It really ratcheted up when I was living in Texas. And I knew that when I was going to move to New York, that I wasn't going to fix my situation. And it didn't. The problem persisted. And at the beginning of 2018, from March to June, just everything got ratcheted up to a million. In March, I got a phone call saying that my dad had died unexpectedly. A few weeks later, my mom was in the hospital. She almost died. A few weeks later, my car got totaled by a drunk driver. Thankfully, I wasn't in the car. And in the midst of that, I was preparing to go to Africa. And Sean and Ruth, they went to this mission trip in Africa. And usually, usually there's a lot of people who go. But last summer, as I was preparing to go, I was asking Joe and Rebecca, the people who were leading it, I'm like, all right, who's going with us? And they're like, no money. I'm like, what? There's always people that go with you. Are you saying I'm the only one that's going with you? I said, yeah. And so I go on my first mission trips overseas, never left the country before. We fly to South Africa, and then we fly to our first country. And for the first 6 days there, first 5 days, my life was a living hell. Everything that I had experienced before, all the anxiety and the depression and the anger and just every negative emotion that you experienced, that I experienced, it was ratcheted to an unbelievable level. So much so that I could not sleep. Not because I was trying to sleep and I couldn't. I just wasn't tired. Could not sleep. And so here I am in another country with two people. I'm in a dark room with no electricity. I can't go outside because it's not safe. I can't go for a walk. I can't contact the people back home because they're 6 hours ahead. I felt incredibly lonely and separated from God. I can't put to words the separation that I felt from God and the separation that I felt from everything else that I had ever known. And God crushed me during that period, during those 5 days. And the very last night was the worst of the worst. I hope maybe some of you can understand me on that. And so I woke up on Saturday morning, just slept for a few hours. We were going to our first church for the mission trip, and we were driving to the church over there, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, we're driving there, and I'm thinking to myself, God, I cannot do this for another 5 weeks. I'm not sleeping. I'm sleeping maybe 2 hours a night, and then I'm waking myself up. I have a constant headache because I can't sleep. My eyes are killing me. I feel so separated from you. I cannot do this for 5 more weeks. I'm going to die, and I'm going to a church right now to preach. And then instantaneously something came over me. It was the Spirit of God, and he revealed three truths about my life that I needed to believe. And I said those three things to myself, and instantaneously, it was supernatural. Everything that I had experienced for the past 2.5 years leading up to this moment dissipated. It was gone. I could literally feel it drain from my head down to my feet. My heart, which was so tight and cold and hard, instantly released. I found myself having a renewed sense of faith in God. I loved God. I really loved God. Not like how I'd been loving him before. And I loved people. And I thought, 5 weeks, I can do that. God is with me. It's going to be nothing. It's going to be a piece of cake. I'll be back home in no time. And the Lord revealed to me, not right in that moment, but the reason why I had been experiencing anxiety for that long is because really, I had been accepting lies that the enemy was telling me, and I was just accepting them as truth. Yeah. And soon, those lies became the grid through which I viewed everything. Those lies were my truth. The lies that the enemy was telling me was my truth. And God was, during that time of struggle, I could feel the Lord pull me and him wanting to work on me. And I kept pushing him away. I said, no, I can do it. There were too many distractions here in America. And so God knew that moving me to another state wasn't going to do it. And so he took me across the world with nobody and crushed me. And for me to find a release from my anxiety, for me to find the realization of peace that is in God, I had to let go. I had to surrender. And I wasn't surrendering over here, and so he made me surrender. He took me to a place I hope I never go again to get me to surrender. And so I encourage you today. I don't know when the peace of God will invade your life. It may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it may be 5 years from now, but there's victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Peace belongs to you in Christ, and the anxiety in your life, maybe it's supernatural. Maybe the enemy is working on you. Maybe it's circumstances outside of your situation. Maybe you just don't trust God. Maybe you're just lazy. Ask yourself, why? Why am I experiencing this anxiety? And then surrender it. Surrender it in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is victory. Anxiety does not have the final word. And though this weekend is great, the real test comes on Monday. The real test comes when you leave this place. And so, I'd like to call the music team up for their final song. Before we do, I just want to close in prayer. God, I thank you for I thank you for the victory that is in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would work with us and that you would lead us as individuals and as a community. God, I pray that if there are whatever strongholds of anxiety there are in this room that is attached to our heart and our mind, God, I pray that they would be broken down in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would surrender them, that we would give them up, that we would be honest with ourselves, that we would be honest with you, that we would live a life according to your standard that you have called us to in Christ Jesus. God, I pray for faith to be renewed right now in this weekend. God, I pray that you would renew our faith and our trust in you. God, I pray that you would help us to gain perspective on life and on you and on ourselves. And God, ultimately, at the end of the day, you are for us and you are not against us. You have given us the victory in Jesus Christ. And God, if we can't understand anything else, let us rest in that. That there is life in the name of Jesus and that you will bring deliverance. You will bring a breaking free of bondage. and the life abundant that we have in Jesus will be made possible. And God, I pray for people in this room who may not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. God, I pray that you would move on their heart. I pray that they would surrender not just their anxiety, but that they would surrender everything, everything they are, to you and to the Lordship of Jesus. God, that you would welcome them into the family of God and give them an incorruptible, incomprehensible peace. Save them in the name of Lord Jesus. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.